to welcome you guys to the Board of Education Meet the Candidates Night. My name is Arthur Winnow. I'm here with my fellow classmates to introduce ourselves. We have Matt, Vivian, Mikey, Allison, Dana, and Ashley, and Tim. Unfortunately tonight, Caroline Miller and Jay Fortini apologize for not being able to attend. The public will write questions on note cards, and students will collect them if they haven't already. And each candidate will have about 2 minutes to respond, and then a 1 minute rebuttal if needed. Fire exits are over there in the back, and if you entered over there, that's another fire exit. Then right around the corner is the bathrooms. And afterwards, if you like refreshments, there is a table over there with refreshments. For now, I would like you guys to stand up, and I would lead you in the Pledge of Allegiance. Pledge of Allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
At this moment, we'd like to have the candidates introduce themselves and tell us why they're running.
Hi, my name is David Fontino. I'm running to a little more communication to the school board and the community. I'm also running because I'd like to see more programs put in place for our children.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Steven Brando. I've been in Carroll Durham School District for about 12 years now. I volunteer with all the kids. I enjoy working with kids. It's important to me for children's education. And I feel by being a member of this board, I can do good, and I can do good for the community and our children. That's why I'm running.
Hi, my name is Robin Gifford. I'm a parent of 3 children in the district, a husband to a wife that's a school teacher. And for the last 16 or 17 years, I've worked for New York State for the Office of Children and Family Services. Primarily for 16 years running a juvenile detention center for 185 beds. And during that time, I had oversight of the education program, allocation of funds, and managing a bunch of different ancillary services. My reason for running it pretty obviously, it's like I said, I have 3 kids that are in the district, and I have a vested interest in the fact that the money that's going to be used and put forth in the district is used in an appropriate manner, and that with the constraints that's going on, with a lot of the demands from the APPR to the Common Core curriculum, that we look at doing innovative ways to spending the money and actually be creative in how we actually accomplish the task at hand, which are pretty arduous. So that's my reason.
I'd like to say one thing quick. I'm going to have to apologize ahead of time. I'm going to have to excuse myself. My daughter is getting inducted into the Junior Honor Society. At some time, I'm watching my phone here. If I get a text, I'm going down, bringing the roses, watching her get everything, and then I'll come right back.
Congratulations.
Okay. My name's Matthew Clee. I'm just going to be helping out tonight, asking a question for the candidates. I have it written down. I'll just read through the questions real quick. Again, each candidate will give you 2 minutes, and they get a 1 minute rebuttal if necessary. So we'll just start left to right, and we'll see how it goes. So we'll start out the night with, what makes the school district important to you?
Well, I'm a lifelong resident of the school district. My son graduated from here in 2007, and my daughter is in seventh grade. I've been involved in just about every community thing that's happened in this town. I'm currently on the Carroll Town Park Task Committee. I ran the Learn to Ski program for 16 years. This is my life. This is where I was born and raised, and this is where I hope to retire.
Thank you, Matt. Like we said before, I don't know if I mentioned, I have 2 beautiful children in this district, and Abigail, who's 8, and Stephen, who's 5 on Monday. I'm a parent. Kids mean everything to me. I walk around in school. Children up, and I see these great educators, these great teachers. I want to teach
best they can towards our kids, and I feel like that I need to do something, give something back to the community in that way. I've been a police officer for 19 years. I serve the community, I protect the community, and that's, thing, that's one of my goals, I think, in life, is to serve, and I feel that I can make a difference on this board. I see what the teachers, the educators do. It's my turn.
As I said earlier, I got three kids in the district. I have two fourth graders and a second grader. Not originally from Carroll, but I married somebody from Carroll and we moved here. You'll have a chance to do a rebuttal later. But basically, I have a vested interest in the community. I think that the kids that we're producing in the school and the education that we're providing now are going to provide the leaders of tomorrow. There are a lot of very successful people who graduated from Carroll Durham. They currently reside in Carroll, run businesses in Carroll, are leaders in the community, and I feel the school district provides that opportunity for those children. So what I'd like to see is that we're putting the best effort into that process to make sure that the people who go to school here want to come back to live here and want to be successful and productive citizens. It benefits all of us.
So we're on the next question. What do you see in need at our school district right now and a year from now?
Experience knowing at what effective leadership really is. So that's what I see. And in a year from now, I hope that we have an action plan or a corrective action plan that we establish now that will have goals that within a year we'll know where we're going to be and where we're at. Because we really shouldn't be talking about tomorrow or next month. We should be talking about 5 years from now. We should be talking about 10 years from now what we want this school to be. We can't keep living in the moment and saying, okay, next week we're going to do this. You know, that's basically.
Very important about that, and I don't want to run on. I'm just completely going down the wall here, but I want to get out there. There are, like we said, there are 30 kids in the school district, and we would like to go back into the school district. We want to build the confidence back up. So everybody wants to get the school district.
Next question would be, how would you improve communication between the education and various
levels? Very easy. I'd like to have relations community established right away on all data organization. If July 1st, when the new board members are elected in, before the holidays start, the summer kicks in, we could start setting up special committees with cross-section of board and from the teachers, administrators, anybody who's willing to volunteer their time for the community, and start taking corrective action right away. And the only way you can do that is to get everybody involved and everybody communicating. I feel like that
call that communication. It's open door policies that gets into it. It's a meeting which we make multiple things. You should have an agenda that you can sit down and discuss. You have an agenda that you can discuss at a meeting. Or as administrators, as managers, you know, you don't want to get into that point. You want to be able to talk to your staff, to your teachers, to your educators, to your union leaders on a daily basis. And communication is huge when it comes to. I feel like Dave said, by communicating in the workplace, having these monthly meetings, sitting down, having the open door policy, being there, being part of the team, that's important. Making staff feel important, making people realize that you're there for them. They might not like the answer, but you're there for them. I think that's it.
Yeah, I agree totally with Steve. I mean, my method of leadership is that you incorporate ideas from the people who are on the floor in the world. The teachers need to be brought in to be given suggestions of what they think can improve the workplace. I think the administrators need to be allowed to have a voice to say what they think will work best in their facilities and in their schools that they run. I think that, you know, that goes through, you can do surveys, you can do interviews, you can do a variety of different ways of gathering information. But the most important thing is this job doesn't stop at the monthly meetings or the meetings that are scheduled. We realize that we have to be more involved than just once a month. It means setting up committees. It means maybe possibly getting an advisory board that would incorporate staff, community members, former graduates of Carol Durbin, former teachers that actually reside in the community that actually could give valued input. This school is one of the most respected schools in the county probably about 10 years ago, 15 years ago. It's produced cardiologists, it's produced physical therapists, it's produced lawyers. I mean, we have countless successful stories of people who live in this community and who graduated from the school. What I'd like to see is that we bring some of those voices back in to talk to us and discuss what was so good about the school back then, what made them achieve what they achieved. And we can do that through an advisory board, through a community board. And I know the superintendent has tried to do some things that actually didn't really pan out. A lot of people didn't show up. But I think with some new energized voices, some new energy and creativity, the guy at the end of the table there got 40 bikes, 45 bikes over the past weekend to give away to kids over the last weekend at the community day. That guy can talk anybody out of anything. So, he had Steve and I recently pulling our petition before we came in. I mean, honestly, that's what it takes. It just takes new voices, new minds. It doesn't mean that the people who are there now aren't doing that. It's just a different look at it from a different lens. That's all. Kind of.
The old-fashioned way of having the school board. The school board is usually isolated. People are afraid to approach a school board. I'm pretty approachable, so I never really had that issue. Administrators, superintendents, throughout the years, this is just in general, okay, they try to isolate their board from their staff, from their administrators. It's just been a past practice. I'd like to try and break through that with these folks, to make it more effective board. When a board is sitting and arguing over things, you never progress. And that's been a hindrance for some time. many years.
Thank you, boss.
My name is Michael Johnson. Thank you all for coming.
What do you feel has led Carol Durham to be focused on?
Well, do you want the real theory behind that?
Well,
that's my theory behind that is it's come down from the government. We are put into being a focus school, but I really don't feel as though we're a focus school. I feel that is brought down by from the government. They try to come up with these different plans. So the state now still has to look at all these focus schools, and what they do is the state can't keep up to have all people come in and review all this paperwork. So what they end up doing is hiring consulting groups that go around paid very well to come in and micromanage this school district, and I don't think it's necessary at all.
Michael, in a district, finances, fiscal constraints, just not having the resources there, support certain members or the community. I think that's an issue for us.
Steve had said to me earlier that they pulled a lot of staff away from where they needed to be, and a lot of these people can be brought back either per diem or half time. That is what caused it all to have us fall into that category.
I mean, I'm actually pretty shocked that we are a public school, but it isn't when you really think about it. Like Steve said, the financial constraints that have impacted everybody's lives. We have less resources to put towards more issues. We have kids that aren't receiving. We have kids that are 5 years ago would have been receiving AIS interventions, being pulled out, being specific interventions with math, with reading. And now we're just not able to do that. We have teachers that have to be put back in classrooms that were doing specialties, and they can't do that now. So we're spreading resources over a wide spectrum of things, and it creates gaps in certain areas. So it's really tough to cover all the things that need to be covered. The constraints with what the administrators have to do now going around with the APPR, having to be in the classrooms, having to do the observations, as many as they have to do. Not having the funding for training for the teachers that was once available, so that, and then putting the Common Core curriculum on top of it, saying that not only are we not going to allow you to have the funding to be able to do the things you need to do to train the teachers, but we're also going to raise expectations so high that nobody can ever reach them in the classroom. It's a combination of a multitude of things.
Some residents say they noticed signs around the neighborhood telling people to vote no for the budget. How do you feel about that?
Nobody has voted no for us.
Yeah.
Listen, Chris.
We're encouraging to vote no on the budget.
Yeah, to save our school, vote no. I don't know what that means. I didn't know we were closing a school. That's news to me. I know there's mention of consolidations of students. The budget increase at 1.73. It's like 216,000 throughout. I don't know why they would say save our school. I mean, we're not looking to close a school. We're talking about consolidating a school and finding other avenues for the school out there in Durham, if that's the avenue we decide to take.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'll just be honest. I'm adamantly against voting no for the budget. I think that all we're going to do is impact the kids, impact the community. So I think that's totally wrong to go. I can't tell you why those signs are on. I didn't put those signs up. I have no idea why people would urge people to vote no in regards to the school budget. I have my theories, but that's really all speculation. So, but for the most part, I really couldn't answer you why that. But I just want to be clear in the fact that I support and Steve supports that everybody votes yes for the budget, and that we really start to come together as a community, because what's happening is there's a lot of fractions. We need to get together as a community to decide where this school's going, because we continue to stay in neutral and we're not moving forward. So you know, voting no is not going to do anything. I don't believe going to a contingency budget is going to stop anything that's been put in motion. I think that even if we went to a contingency budget, that if there was going to be the notion that Durham was going to be closed and we were going to consolidate, that could still take place and would still happen. So I don't see why that's, that would not remedy anything.
What do you think was the biggest flaw?
Sit around for an hour, wait for transportation to go to and from each school.
Transportation was an issue. Communication, when it first came out, the study of the precinct plan, was it good, was it bad? The way it got out to the community, we're doing a precinct plan because, you know, we don't want to close the school. There's other avenues we could have looked at, we didn't. And like Rob just said, the transportation thing was huge. In the hallways, waiting in the hallways now to get services at the Durham School. A lot of things.
What was the question again?
What was the biggest flaw?
The biggest flaw with the Princeton brand that I could see was right away, as soon as you decide you're going to take away instructional time and increase bus time, and you increase the bus time alone. Forget about the shuttle that actually adds additional time that's not counted into the actual time, which Zaversky didn't have in his study. You know, I was just blown away by it. As soon as you make that decision as a board member, take away instructional time from your children, you made the wrong decision. There could have been other things done. You could have realigned. You could have put 5th and 6th grade up in Durham, okay? And you could have ran them with the older kids. And then you would have had no bus issues at all. They would have been able to do that in their sleep. And that's what I would have brought forward if I was a board member. I would have said, well, did we explore this? Could we do that? You know, that's probably the direction I would have went in if I was on the board. I would have said, can we explore this? What are the numbers? Can we make that work? And that would have negated this whole thing, this whole controversy that went on the past year and a half. That's why I'm here. I'm just appalled by it. Because we're all one community. Okay? It's Carroll Durham. It's not Carroll and Durham. We're one community. We're here for our kids. We want to provide them the best education possible. And the fact that it wasn't even brought up to do that, or something along those lines, I got offended as a taxpayer, as a parent.
Since you are running together, it seems, and it was stated,
I agree with what both these guys said. I think the biggest problem with the whole plan is that a lot of us sat in countless meetings, even sitting in the Board of Ed meetings, and we listened to community members speak up and raise a lot of concerns about the whole plan going in. And there were concerns raised by Durham parents, there were concerns raised by Carroll parents. I don't believe that Durham people fully supported the Princeton plan, just like I don't believe the Carroll people fully supported the Princeton plan. But when all those questions were brought up at those meetings, there really was no answers given to about the transportation, about the expenditures, where we were going to spend the money, about the class sizes, about the facilities and their capability to be able to house the amount of kids that were going to be in there. Where was instruction going to be done in a school that was going to be filled with kids and there wasn't going to be enough room to pull them out to do intervention services? So I just think overall, the lack of a plan and the lack of listening to some folks that actually brought up ideas and actually said they had concerns led to a poor implementation. And that's where we're at now.
Next question.
Yes.
Since you are all running together, it seems, and it was stated, that you are all of like mind. That's the same as the candidates from last year. Will you be able to actually disagree with each other?
Yes. We do all the time.
That's what makes it good. If we don't have an issue of telling each other you're wrong, or respect one another, respect everyone's decision, and communicate. And that's what it's all about. It's about communication, coming together, working through the tough times, and coming up with an educated decision which is best for our children. That's what it's all about. It's not about the three of us, it's about the community. It's about our kids. It's about why we're here. It's for our children.
You cannot agree to disagree.
Bottom line, we're here for our children. We're here for our educators. We're here for the staff. We're here to make sure our children get educated. We're here to make sure they're safe every day. They go home every day. Their parents are safe on the bus. That's why we're here. I really don't like either one of them.
Yeah, I mean, I want to echo the sentiment. I really don't like those two guys either.
I love
both. They said my name. They said my name could be on top of the sign. That's the only reason my name's on that sign. But when it comes down to it, do we disagree? We disagree on a variety of things. We disagree about things that are said at the board meetings. We don't always agree about where we think money should be, but each one of us has our own mind. But I can tell you the one thing that we have in common is that we have the best interest of the school and the kids in our heart and in our minds. So, yeah, I mean, believe me, there's plenty of disagreements, and that'll be obvious. You'll see when we don't agree.
Do you always start with me, or can we... No, I'm just kidding. All right, ask me anything you want.
Just like you said, it's good stuff.
Yeah, right. Like you said, with exploring new ideas and discussing and debating, what are your thoughts on having board members actually debate issues, discuss options, share ideas in public during board meetings?
I really feel as though the board meetings need to be more open. They're not that open. I was up here a few weeks ago talking about modified sports and where we could get the money from. At any time, any of the board members are going to put a motion forward to take that money out of savings and look at parents say they're going to pay back. Nobody did anything. As a matter of fact, I brought literature for everybody. When you do come to board meetings, it's just a basic, simple thing of parliamentary procedure. You want to hand that out here. And here is the EngageNewYork.org website for every parent to go out, look out, and get yourselves educated on the New York State Department of Ed. I'm sorry. Those are basic rules for parliamentary procedure. So when you're at a board meeting, you don't feel uncomfortable, you can move forward. And the board members come on. First thing you learn when you come on as a school board member is parliamentary procedure. Get Robert's rules.
I got to apologize. I forgot that question. Can you answer that again after all that?
What are your thoughts on having board members actually debate issues, discuss options, and share ideas in public during board meetings?
I said before, normally I echo the same thing. It's open communication, open dialogue. It's about being approachable. It's not. It's about being able to communicate. Being able to communicate with the community. Being able to communicate with your staff. We talked about labor relations. We talked about communication in the workplace before about the unions. That's what it's about. It's about dialogue. It's about communication. It's about making people feel comfortable. It's about working with people. It's about interpersonal skills and open dialogue.
You know, when you talk about having debates, and that can happen if the issue rises where you need to have some kind of debate. If you have a good cross section of board and members of teaching staff, administrators on these different committees, you'll see everybody collaboratively coming. When you're at a board meeting and they say, okay, any committee reports, and then you start commenting, they have nothing to say for committee reports, that means you have a problem. I didn't go to one board meeting here where there was really anything of any substance for any committee meeting. None of the board members who were on the committee brought anything to the table to discuss in front of the public forum. And that alone shows you that it's a machine that's not working properly.
I sit at the board meetings and I get very frustrated when there's topics being discussed. And I understand executive session is a necessary part. There's things that have to be discussed and have to go on that. But I wish that a lot of those meetings would be much more open and would be much more accepting of the community's input, receiving, and giving and receiving. I think my own personal opinion is that more things get accomplished when you incorporate the voice of all the people that are involved. Even if we were to get elected to the board, we are not being put there to make decisions based on what we think. It's based on what the community wants. We're going to be representatives of the community, the kids, the teachers. So we need to encompass that in all our thinking and decision making. And the only way you can do that is if you're incorporating the ideas from the people you're representing. I think sometimes in the process we forgot over the past few years that when you're elected to these positions, you're put in these positions, that you're there to represent the whole. You're not there just to represent personal interests. So, I mean, personally, I think there could be a much more open dialogue. I think they could, it could be more welcoming at times to have that kind of dialogue. I think sometimes people ask questions and they're not always heard, or they're not given answers. I don't know if they're given answers at a later time, but they're not given answers at home.
Requirements for successful school board membership.
Communication, organization, execution. I think the first thing this board coming into the new school year is to right away. This is one of the most daunting things as a committee member or board member is to review policy and procedure. I think they had a Justin. Were you in the policy and procedure? It's a pretty daunting thing, and I feel right away that there's policy procedures for each building, but the district-wide policy procedures, the administrators can get right on top of that this summer, so I think the students have solid district policy procedures. One instance I had it myself was relating to transportation. There needs to be a policy procedure for a parent who has a child that lives under 0.3 miles and has to walk to the school, but there's a safety issue. I made the phone, being that I've been around the school district for many years, I made the right phone calls. By the time I ended up having resolved with it, it took the superintendent, the business manager, and the head of transportation to come out to my house while I, you know, they have valuable time. They did not need to have to come all the way out to my house. So if there was some type of format for them to follow, maybe with something with a diagram on the bottom, and show where the safety issue is. They might have reviewed that. They could have went to Google Earth, and it could have been done. And they could have opted to pick up my daughter at that point. They had to come out to the house for a home visit, spend about an hour of their day between driving up there and hanging out and discussing it with me. I had to come to the board and make a spectacle before it got even recognized. And that's a waste of my time as a taxpayer. Things like that need to be addressed.
I think we summed it up in the last question about, you know, like Rob said, something we all talked about, it's open dialogue, it's being approachable, having good communication skills, having good listening skills, getting your staff involved, embracing the school, embracing the district, making good decisions. Not personal decisions, making decisions that you might not, you know, personally might not like it, but it's right for the kids. It's a right thing to do for our kids. It's the right decision to make. So I think as a board member and as a good leader, sometimes you might not like making decisions that you have to make, but you make them for what's best for the community, what's best for our children, what's best for our teachers. So I think that's what makes successful.
As a community, there's a lot of things we could probably be doing or be doing more of to help to make
question. What are your thoughts on STEM science, technology,
engineering? Well, what I'd like to see is I'd like to see an A for arts. You know, Bass, you did a fabulous job in playing. It was outstanding, especially that opening scene was captivating and kept you staying on for the whole ride. We've lost too many teachers in the past, and we need more focus on the STEM. That's another option with all the space that we have. We have tons of space. Like Seversky said, and if you hear we're here from Seversky, so we have space and we have money. Most school districts throughout the state would love to be in our position. So now we just need to come up with the right programs and the right discussion, and we can start implementing them, spend money and put it towards it.
Like Dave said, I think we've lost focus for the past several years, and I think it's very important to get that back. It's very important. It's a very good tool. I think it's something we have to strive for. And like Dave said, to piggyback him, like the study said, we have space. It's time to strive forward and get our kids where they need to be.
I'm a huge proponent of the STEM program. I think that if you talk to the kids that have been involved in the program, they're very excited about it. They love it. They're yearning to want to be educated. If you look around and you know, all the different RPI, SUNY Albany, all this stuff, everything's moving in that kind of a direction. So, you know, I mean, I think that we'd be crazy as a school district not to want to start the feeder at this level. Kids are prepared for what they may possibly be encountering when they go to the next level, which will be secondary education.
Especially with RPI and Hudson Valley being close with our Questar, they have a lot of programs up there that our children can attend to.
Close to everybody out for no parts?
Two meetings a month, all school boards, limited to what they can do. How does, should, the board decide on what's most important?
First of all, that's what they have scheduled. They can always call more meetings, and that's what's going to have to happen. I'm willing to come in here and do 4 or 5 meetings, whatever it takes a month to make that happen. There is correspondence now. Years ago, you used to get a big packet in the mail, you know, on the board, and you had all days to review it. Well, now every board member has a laptop, and there's constant communication. There's constant communication that you can have with the superintendent, staff, and other board members without having a form. So, and we all have iPhones now. We can do a lot.
Yeah, just to piggyback that, go, Dave.
Things in the future, and looking forward to obviously, and we're looking forward to the possibility of actually.